Good morning. The brother has read to us the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it started out, "Now we exhort you, brethren, and now we beseech you," or I might say there, "and now I would like to encourage you, brethren and sisters." And then we go down to verse 18. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now I beseech you, encourage you, brothers and sisters, to give thanks in everything." Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not exactly Thanksgiving period. You have a Thanksgiving day in November, but of course we can give thanks all through the year. And usually, around the Thanksgiving time, I'm not here in the States. I'm usually down in French Guiana. And once in a while you're eating your turkey, I might open my can of sardines, because I do my own cooking there. But all through the year we can give thanks. Because this is the will of God concerning us. Huh? And, or we could go on, thanksgiving and praise is the thing which makes our lives and our faces happy and beautiful. It's not grumbling. When we are grumbling, we get unhappy. We get discouraged with others. Probably this is why we start. We're discouraged about others. And then we might even get discouraged with ourselves. But God's word says, don't grumble. It says, give thanks in everything. The Bible says in everything. Now some things, certain things happen to us. At first you might think, no, why, Lord? Why? And why me? And yet it says give thanks. The Lord probably has a reason for it. Quite often we don't see the reason and we don't understand it, but we can trust. He knows. And if we know He knows and we trust in Him, then we can just rest, repose in His hands of knowing, Lord, I only see as far as my nose see it, but you see much further, and you know what's good for me now and what's going to be good for me in an extended period of time. Or in Psalm 34 and verse 1 we read, "I will praise the Lord," every Sunday morning, right? "I will praise the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So if we are thankful Christians, if we are praising Christians, then we are happy Christians. I assume most of us here claim to be Christians this morning, huh? And now, if there is anyone in this world that should be happy, it's the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Do they have it better than other people? Don't the believers have any problems? Don't the believers have any difficulties? Well, sometimes I think we have more than other people, huh? Sometimes I do things so that we have more than other people. Yet, we have constantly the Lord Jesus Christ in our sight. And we can praise Him. And not only we have Him here to help us, to lead us, to guide, to encourage, to suit us. We also, as Christians, we can look forward to a heavenly home, which is going to be beautiful. We're going to be in a place where there's not going to be any more sin. We're going to be in a place where there's not going to be any more trouble, no more sorrow. So who has the right to be happy? It's not the Christian. And as happy people, also we should be thankful Christians, huh? As God's children, we should not go around with a long face, but we should have shining face. We all know the sign of the smiling face, huh? But sometimes instead of going up, it's going down, and we're looking sort of downcast. So we should be shining and happy, happy people. Now, what should we be thankful for? There's so many things to be thankful for, and it's good, as we speak a little bit about Thanksgiving. Usually Thanksgiving day you eat turkeys, and I assume you don't eat them with their feathers. So even if you don't pluck the turkey, somebody else has probably done it before, huh? Now let's pick up some of these feathers and put them back on, and then to see, think each one of these feathers is something we can give thanks to the Lord for. Sometimes we think, count your blessings, name them one by one. And if we begin to count all the good things which the Lord gives us day by day. Has the Lord given you anything good already this morning? I guess so, huh? I assume all of us who are here, we're in fairly good health. We're able to come out. Give thanks to the Lord for good health, huh? I think the Lord has provided, and again, I assume that most of us have something for breakfast. Perhaps not everyone. Give thanks to the Lord that He has provided. And as I look down here, all of you, you're beautifully dressed, huh? The Lord has provided, huh? The Lord has provided for food and clothing. Just these days in the news, we hear quite a bit about Haiti. Haiti, a country, probably the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, the average Haitian doesn't earn more than $150 a year. And the Lord has provided, so we can be thankful for so many things. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and if this is not enough for you to praise the Lord, go and visit some people in the hospital. And you will always see there are so many people which are so much worse off than you are. And He might serve to praise the Lord. So, let's name a few things for which we can thank the Lord and should thank the Lord. Maybe first of all, I would just like to mention the Bible. Do you ever thank the Lord for the Bible which we have, which is our disposition? It's God's Word from cover to cover. It's a lamp and a light to us. You can thank Him for it. Some dear lady has one time expressed and says, oh, you know, I love the Bible from cover to cover, and I even love the cover because it says on it, Holy Bible. Then this dear lady, she kissed the Bible. She loved it. You know, if we wouldn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know about God. If we wouldn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know about Jesus Christ. If we wouldn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know about the way of salvation. Thank the Lord for the Bible and the easy access we have. I assume that most of us have even more than one Bible. Probably you have four or five in your home. Huh? And it's good to have the Bible. I like to use the King James Version, especially from the pulpit. And then we have lots of other different versions. And I think it's good for us to have and to compare so the work becomes clearer to us and more open. We can thank the Lord. We have all possibilities. And if we don't have one, we can just walk over to the bookstore and we can buy one very easily. It's not all over like this. In many countries, they don't have the Bible, especially in the communist countries. Some places, a number of people have to share. Some places where they only have one Bible, might be in a church or an assembly, the people come and they take the time and they go and they copy, might be a page or might be a book. They copy it longhand, just in order to have it. And we, perhaps because we have so easy access to it, sometimes we don't appreciate it and we don't honor it and we don't respect the Bible as much as we certainly should do it. And I would like to encourage you, and I always like to encourage the people, read your Bible. There are different ways to read the Bible. Of course, we have our devotions. We might read a short portion. Sometimes we might say we're going to study for ourselves a book, and we read through a whole book, or we follow some topic. Now, I'd like to encourage you, read the Bible as you read some other books, too. Read it right through from cover to cover, without perhaps stopping to look up words or look up certain things. Just read it through so you get a general knowledge of what's in the Bible. It's good to do. Then you know what's in it, and if you're through, do it again. If you read one chapter in your Bible every day, you get through the Bible in about 5 years. If you read 3.5 chapters every day, you get through the Bible in 1 year. Do it. That's for reading. And then at other time, of course, go slow and study it. And also begin to memorize some parts of the Bible. Some people can do this easier than others, but we don't know how much longer we're going to have the Bible, if ever we'll be without the Bible, only the things which we have memorized are going to really help us and lift us up. Memorize it, or maybe in more modern terms, we will call it computerize it. Put it in your memory so you can just press the button and there it comes up. Do it. Let's give thanks to the Lord for the Bible. At one time, perhaps I've given you these illustrations once before, one time we came home in furlough from French Guiana, and I figured, we're just going home a few months, we're going to be in the States, we're going to use our English Bible, so I'm going to leave my French Bible down in French Guiana, the bookshelf, because traveling with limited baggage on the airplane, you can't take too much alone. So I left my nice found leather Bible down in French Guiana on the shelf. And then when we came back, of course, one of the first things I had to look up is for my French Bible because I was going to use it the very next day. And I picked up my Bible and I said, what happened? And I looked through the Bible and there in through the Bible, right through in several places, there were tiny little holes. Not bigger than the head of a pin. Tiny little holes. What happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. The termites have got into my Bible. They went right through it several times. I don't know what they got out of it. But I think while they were eating through my Bible, they were probably fed. And if you go through the Bible, you'll be fed too. I mean, when we read through the Bible quickly, we might not understand everything. And especially some people say, I'm going to read through the Bible, but I'm not going to remember anything. Or not everything. That doesn't matter. Do you remember what you had for dinner 2 weeks ago? Do you remember? Or do you remember what you had last only for dinner? Some might not even remember, huh? But even if you don't remember, you were fed by it, weren't you? And it's the Bible true when you read through it, huh? You might not be able to remember everything, but read. And here I especially would like to encourage the young people. Get into the habit to read through the Bible and to learn it, and God will help you. So let's give thanks to the Lord for our Bible. It's the book of God. And then let's give thanks to the Lord for God himself. If we wouldn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know God, the Creator, the one who loves us, the one who gave us his beloved Son, and the one, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes our Father, and we can say, Abba, Father. As soon as we accept him as Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. And of course, on the other side, I do know, lots of people, they might pray on Sunday morning, our Father, who art in heaven, and then all through the week, they live as if they're orphans, as if they don't know their Father. But let's give thanks for God, you know, Mighty High, a living God, the prophet Isaiah calls him holy, holy, holy. The cherubim expressed this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel. And we are down here, what are we? Really nothing. Really nothing. Just little worms and ants. And yet God is interested in us. So we should be interested in him, in awesomeness. We should praise him for what he is. And then we can know our God, this mighty God. He knows everything. He owns everything. Huh? Just imagine, this mighty owner, the possessor of all things, heaven and earth. In the first meeting we mentioned the cattle of the thousand hills. Huh? He is accepting us to be his children. Think what it means to be a child of God. What an honor. And one day we're going to be with him. Now we only have anticipation. But let's thank him just for God and what he is. And let's thank our God for the Lord Jesus Christ who has sent us. And let's thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he was willing to leave heavens and to come down as a babe in a manger there in Bethlehem. And finally, of course, he had come to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And how good we know from the Bible, we know from God's word, that he didn't only die. He was not only buried, but he rose again. And through him we have salvation. And now where's the Lord Jesus? Right now he's up in heaven, and he's praying for us. He's making intercession for us. Satan, the accuser of the brethren and of the sisters, he comes again and again. Did you see this brother? Did you see this man down there? You see how they do? Brother, the Lord often has to say, yes, I've seen it. I'm very, very sad and very sorry about it. But on the other side, Satan, look here. The marks of the nails in my hand, I have paid the price for them. And then he makes intercession for us. Let's thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise Him and worship Him. We come Sunday morning for a worship service. In a special way we worship the Lord. We remember Him in His death, burial and resurrection. But it's not only Sunday morning. It should also be Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and then start out again. Praise the Lord for this. And then we can thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit who was sent down to this earth after the Lord Jesus went back to heaven. And the Holy Spirit is the one who has worked in each one of us already before we were saved. He showed us the need of a Savior. He showed us our estate in which we were. We were lost. We were far away from Him. And then He showed us that Jesus Christ died for us. He convinced us to accept Him. Because He doesn't speak of Himself, but He speaks of the Lord Jesus. He points to the Lord. And then when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within our hearts. And from within our hearts, He stirs us on and encourages us to go on and to live for Him. And He leads us and He guides us in the way we should go. He even helps us to remember the scriptures which we have memorized. Times of need. We read in God's Word, times we don't even know how to express ourselves in prayer. And then the Holy Spirit can just come and He can fill our minds so we can find words to praise, thank and worship Him for what He is, what He has done for us. And the Holy Spirit also, after we have been saved, of course we are saved to serve. Now the Holy Spirit also, He is the one who helps us then to go and tell others about salvation. We have experienced it, and but sometimes I'm not sure if we're all convinced, because if we believe you have to be saved in order to get to heaven, otherwise you go to hell. And we do remember so many neighbors and friends and even in our families outside who are still on their way to hell. If you're really convinced and we don't want to see them go to hell, we would go after them and tell them. Insist, huh? Perhaps we should have much more of an outreach to some of them. So let's thank the Lord for salvation, that we can go out and tell them with the Holy Spirit's help. Huh? Do we do it? Are we indeed witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we just sort of occupied with ourselves? If there should be any here this morning, older people or young people who have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus, who cannot thank God for salvation, for the assurance of salvation which they have received, the Lord is still inviting you today. He died on the cross of Calvary, not for anything He has done, but He died for our sins. And now He is inviting us that each one who really wants to trust in Him, and say, yes, Lord, I do thank Thee that I have taken my place. Now help me, take me, pull me out of the miry clay, and put my feet upon the rock. Lord, do it today. Because we never know. Tomorrow is still going to be another chance. Just because the Lord is giving you an invitation today, it's no guarantee that He's going to do it again tomorrow. It may be too late. Who knows if you're still going to be alive tomorrow? God would like to give you the gift of salvation, forgiveness of sin, but you have to accept it. It's an act of your will. Taken and believe in Him, and then you can be blessed. And then, of course, the ones you have thrown and stepped into the river of life, then go on. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just this week on the radio, I listened a little bit to one of the Christian stations, and Jack Wilson was speaking on it, and he says about God's Word and the Christian life, you have to know it, then you have to grow in it, and then you have to show it in your life. Know it, grow it, and show it. We have come to salvation. Let's know the Lord Jesus, and we get to know Him more and more as we read His Word and pray about it. And then get to know Him deeper and experience. And then show it. Live a Christian life and try to attract others to come to the Lord Jesus Christ too. And some will go on. But of course, what the scripture teaches, we have been saved. Now we shall testify publicly in baptism. An act of obedience, it's not baptism that saves us, but it's an act of obedience, and whenever we are obedient to God's word, it's going to result in blessing for us. So let's thank God for the Bible. Let's thank Him for God Himself, for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, for salvation. And, you know, we can thank the Lord also that we even have the possibility to pray. We little nothings here on this earth, we can address the Most High God. When we read the Bible, God speaks to us. And when we pray, then we can pray to God. We can speak to Him. And He's listening. His telephone line is always open. The line is never busy. He can always listen. Perhaps you can ask yourself the question, why are so many believers, they feel their prayers are not answered? Is it possibly because we don't live close enough to the Lord? Is it possibly because we do not praise the Lord enough? We don't praise Him enough? The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all time, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Or in 1 Thessalonians, we read before, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Maybe some of our prayers don't get answered because we don't praise the Lord enough. Thankful Christians and praising Christians in general are happy Christians. You know, we have some of our friends. Sometimes we call them Pentecostals. Sometimes we call them the Charismatics. We don't agree in everything exactly what they teach or how they handle it. We believe in, maybe in some points they do go a little bit to an extreme. But I think in general we do have to admit they're a happy bunch of people. And maybe some of the fire which they have too much, we might have a little bit too little of it. We want to praise the Lord. And we can be happy too. The more we are occupied with Him and the more we trust in Him and look to Him, we can praise Him. And always remember, thankful, praising Christians are happy Christians. So we can praise the Lord for prayer, that we can come before Him. We come before Him in worship, Sunday morning in a special way. But actually, each one of our prayers probably contains some worship. Every time we address the Most High God and come to Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we honor and we worship Him. And then in this prayer, we also can come and make intercession for one another. And we are encouraging God's word to pray for one another, especially for the ones of the household of faith. So often we are more inclined to criticize our brothers and sisters, but we are told to pray for them. And not only can we pray for one another, we also can make intercession for some of our friends who have not been saved yet, that they can come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just imagine, we little human beings here, we can even present our needs to this most holy God. And He will answer. He will supply. He doesn't supply everything we want, but He will supply the things which we need. What a privilege it is. Thank the Lord that we have a way of access to Him. Most of us, if we would like to have access to the President, we wouldn't even know how to get through. And even if we write them a letter, it probably never gets to him. Some of his aides will answer it and write a very nice word back. But to God we can be assured we get through. Thank the Lord for prayer. And now at the same time we also want the Lord to thank the Lord for our country. Our country, especially, one thing we still do exist, although in some places it does get a little bit curtailed. We have freedom to worship. We can gather. We are even protected by the police. It's not like this everywhere, no. Not like this everywhere. Thank the Lord for our country and thank the Lord for our government. And of course, when we thank the Lord for our government, we are also encouraged in God's word to pray for the ones who are in charge of the government. At times, I'm afraid we don't pray enough for them. And pray even when elections come, that the Lord will give us the right people in the right place. We pray before and during the elections. Then we also can afterwards support them and say, we have prayed for you. Let's do the right thing. If we are good people, the Lord will give us the right people in the right place too. We can pray for the government, and we should do it. Pray for the ones, pray for the king, it says in God's word, and for the ones in authority. We can pray for the president. We can pray for his cabinet members. We can pray for our congress, senators, I should say first, and then for the congressmen. And then we have the state government and the local government. Pray for them. And if we all are faithful in prayer for them, I think things will go well for us too. Pray for our country. Then pray that we have the freedom, that we have churches, that we have assemblies like this. Would you like to live in a country where they have no churches? No Sunday schools? As far as I know, there's only one country actually right now in the world where there's not one church. It's in Albania. But in many other places, churches, people are not free to gather the way we do it. So let's thank the Lord that we have churches. And as I travel quite a bit to go to assemblies here and there, sometimes quite far, sometimes traveling in three different continents, and quite often I see, when I come into towns, there is a church tower. It might be sort of a liberal church, possibly. There is a church building. There is an assembly building. But it always, even the buildings remind the people, there is a God. There is a God. Let's serve. We're going to be thankful for this. And we thank the Lord that we can come together in meetings like this and in Sunday schools. Then thank the Lord for Sunday schools and Bible clubs. We have a Sunday school going on right downstairs. And Bible clubs where children are being taught. I think the average age of people to get saved is about 10 to 15 years in there somewhere. We can come to 12 or 13 years. And then it becomes harder and harder. People begin to reason more and more themselves. But let's teach the young ones while their little hearts are still tender and can be taken in. Of course, we don't want to neglect also to evangelize the grown-up people, the adults. Last night, the ones who were here, I showed you a picture from French Guiana, and one of the ladies there was was saved at 88. And just these days, I got a paper from somewhere on a mission field where a woman was saved. She was just about 100 years old. Huh? Oh, how good. But these are just a few here and there, like a brand plucked out of the fire. They are always happy when grown-up people get saved. But you know, when an adult person gets saved, most of their life is past already, has been wasted, and they just have a few old years displaced. And especially these days, these last few days, when it was so cold, how were we glad to have a good roof over us, and how were we glad we had heat in our room, in our home. We thank the Lord for our homes and for the ones we live with. Maybe other believers are in with us in our family. Sometimes there's some amongst us and living in our homes too who are not saved yet. We can pray for them that they can be saved. And then again, especially maybe for the young people here, we are told in God's word to pray and to thank the Lord. Be thankful for your parents. Respect your parents. They might not always do exactly what you think they should do, but they do what they think is best for you. And in God's word, in Ephesians, we read, children, obey your parents, for this is right in the sight of the Lord. And you know, it's also the first commandment in the Old Testament. I think it's the fifth commandment. It says, and if you respect and obey your parents, you shall live long. There's a blessing attached to it. Thank the Lord for your parents who take care of you, who lead you in the Christian way. And maybe we parents, we can thank the Lord for our children who help us and teach us many precious lessons. Huh? Before we have children, we think everybody else's children, they are really brats. Huh? And then we get some of our own, and then sometimes our mouths are closed. Huh? Thank the Lord that He gives us these things, that we can praise Him. And thank the Lord for schools too. Schools. These days we heard quite a bit about school teachers. Every day, every hour, you can hear it on the radio, see it on television. Because one of our school teachers was on her way, going out to space. She never reached out there, but she was on its way. At one time, I do remember, I was somewhere, And it's all posted up, I think, even a school, if it's in a schoolhouse. So a little sign, I went down to try to read it, and it says, if you can read this, thank the teacher. If you can read this, thank the teacher. It's the teacher to read. And just imagine, if we would never have learned to read, we couldn't read the Bible either. And many of the mission fields, I know it also happens here in the States, but in many of the mission fields, we have a number of people who cannot read. And I tell you, it's hard to evangelize them. You can only feed them when you're with them. When you're not with them anymore, they can't read. So thank the Lord for school teachers, and especially if we have Christian school teachers who do not only teach us the science of this world, but who also teach us the way of salvation. Let's thank the Lord for teachers. And then last of all, we can't just thank the Lord for friends and brothers and sisters with whom we fellowship together. And I know some of you right now, you're already beginning to smell the food which is cooking, your pork roast or whatever. It's going to be maybe a turkey today. Thank the Lord that He gives us the daily food. He gives us the daily food. Today in an age when day by day thousands die of undernutrition. Millions go to bed every night with their stomach only half full. And in America, more people are dying from overeating than from undereating. So let's thank the Lord for provision He gives. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, we read, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Not only be content, but let us be thankful. Lord, Thou hast provided, and we do indeed thank You for Your loving kindness. Now we only have touched a few things that we can give thanks to the Lord for. First of all, for the Bible. For God Himself. For His Son, whom He sent to us. For the Holy Spirit, who fills with our hearts and who leads and guides us. For salvation, which we have in Jesus Christ. The possibility that we have to pray. Lord, we thank You that we have this privilege. And we can thank the Lord for our country, for our churches, Sunday schools, Bible clubs, homes, parents, children, schools, friends, and also for the daily food. If we are thankful, folks, we're happy, and we can be blessed, and we can be a blessing. Let's just bow our heads to a word of prayer. God, our Father, we do thank Thee and we do praise Thee for Your loving kindness and for Your goodness. Above all things, our God and our Father, we do thank Thee for Your precious word, for the Bible, which Thou hast given us, inspired by men of God, inspired by God and given to men of God. And not only our God Thou hast given us, but over the years Thou hast preserved it for us. Many times men have sought to destroy it, but Thou hast kept it. And we thank You, our God, that Thou even has given us the ability to read it and to understand it. We can read it in our own language. Oh, we thank You for this. As we dig into God's Word, help us to understand. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to know, to grow, and to show. And then our God to live it out. And we don't know how much more time we have, but we know around us there are lots of unsaved people. Help us to reach out to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that even this morning again we have the possibility here to be together in fellowship, in worship, and in learning. Now, as we go out, help us to go out as happy, praising, and thankful Christians, that in all things the name of Jesus Christ shall be glorified. Then our God lead us through this day. Keep us close to Thee, bless us, and make us a blessing. And if it's Your will, lead us again this evening, that we can learn more of Your precious word. We do thank Thee now for all these good things, in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.